And the man that I'm going to be interviewing today has been headed right into the danger zone ever since World War II, when he became the youngest naval aviator. Rodney Stitch is my guest today, and he is probably, the reigning expert in government crimes and destruction. Yes, government crimes and destruction. I meant to say corruption. Welcome, Rodney.
Yes, good morning. I like your introduction.
Rodney, let's start. You were Navy, a Navy pilot. You've been a pilot, you know, most of your life. You've flown for a number of airlines, including in the Middle East. Weren't you in Iran the day the revolution began?
Right. One of the events in which I started discovering government, intrigue was the morning I woke up in Iran, and there was a revolution going, and that was a revolution that was orchestrated by the CIA, and that was in 1953. And that was one of my first introductions to the CIA intrigue in the Middle East.
Well, Rodney, you've got a whole list of books. I mean, you must have 20 books by now. But you started with a book called The Unfriendly Skies. And it was an expose of how dangerous it was to fly an airplane in those days. Probably still is. That's why I don't fly. But, Rodney, you went from being a pilot, literally a worldwide pilot, from a naval aviator to a pilot, to an FAA investigator. And somewhere along the way, you amassed a real estate fortune, you know, worth $10 million or more. And you wrote this book, and suddenly your whole world collapsed. Do you want to kind of briefly describe what happened to you?
Yes. In the early 60s, I left airline flying, and I started working for the FAA. I was out of the Los Angeles office, and my job was anything involving airline safety, and I was conducting flight checks of airline pilots, issuing ratings, looking for safety problems and what have you. Now, in those days, and this lasted for about 20 years, airline disasters were every few months we would have a major disaster. It's not like today where they're not that frequent, but in those days it was very common. And there was one particular area that had more airline disasters than any other airline. And I was approached by the FAA, and they asked me to volunteer for to correct the conditions that were responsible for the worst series of aviation disasters in the nation's history. And I remember they said to me, "Rod, this is a difficult assignment, but we're right behind you." Well, they were correct in the first, not the second. So I took the assignment, and it didn't take me long to discover a pattern of corruption. I mean, really hardcore corruption that I had never experienced in my many years of aviation flying. And this is the corruption that was making possible the continuing series of airline disasters. So I did a number of things without going into details on it at this moment. Very briefly, I finally acted as similar to an independent prosecutor, and I conducted about 4 months of administrative hearing similar to a criminal proceeding. And during those proceedings, three more major airline disasters occurred, each one due to the same problems that I was trying to correct, that I reported. Anyhow, there was a cover-up, and the crashes continued. I finally figured, enough of this. So I left government, and I thought, well, I'll start writing books and let the public know. Well, the first book was the first edition of Unfriendly Skies, which is now in the fourth edition. And with the publication of that book, I started appearing on radio and TV shows, on hundreds of them. And as a result of that, I started hearing from other government agents and insiders, which gave me more information. But in an attempt to silence me, because I was using my assets to expose this, which I guess it was a dumb thing to do, but nevertheless, I did it. So in the, finally, they kind of, in a way, set me up. They what I did, I started filing federal actions under the federal crime reporting statute to report the criminal activities that I was discovering. And anyone who knows of a federal crime must report it to a federal judge or the federal officer. Well, no one ever thinks of reporting to a judge, but since the Department of Justice and every other federal personnel I went to was covering up, I'd say, well, I'll make a record and I'll report it to a federal judge. So I filed actions in the federal courts in San Francisco. And the federal judges agreed, Mr. Stitz, these are serious charges. But then the Department of Justice filed motions to dismiss the action, saying I had no standing. So anyhow, they were then dismissed and the crashes continued. Well, then what they did, they issued orders barring me for the remainder of my life, which are still in effect, from report, from filing any papers in any federal court. Well, as I'm finding out more, I again filed an action, and then a U.S. attorney in Sacramento charged me with criminal contempt of court. And so I ended up for 6 months in the pokey. And it was it didn't work out the way they planned, because I met probably one of the most interesting, most experienced COVID intelligence agent I ever met, and that was your husband, Gunther Rusbacher.
And you know, Rodney, most people don't know that the two of you met in prison in Pleasanton, California.
Yes, and then that was the start. And I describe these events in the next book I wrote, which is called Defrauding America. I go into the information that Gunther was describing to me, and he was very hesitant initially about giving me this information. But after a few things, of which you're more familiar than I, he started opening up, and the information he gave me was fabulous. It was very, very serious. But anyhow, that was the start of other COVID agents contacting me over a period of years. And so I wrote other books. The next book was called Drugging America. And all of these books focus on misconduct of people in key government offices that are really subverting the interest of the United States. At any rate, then my latest book, and I do have over a dozen of them, which are listed on the website at Defrauding America, the latest book was based upon information I obtained from several sources, including the son of a mafia individual that was noted as the Killing Machine. And that information that he provided me, which that will be the subject that you'll be focusing on today, it shows the relationship between, or the links between, a series of murders involving the father of this source that I have, and an FBI agent, and they were involved in serial murders, and which is, of course, quite serious. Well, that there, to cover up for these things, eventually helped make possible a series of major terrorist attacks upon the United States, and I would presume that will be the one of the subjects we'll be discussing today.
Yes, I was wanting to discuss the letters that you sent. You sent a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder, and then you sent another letter to regarding the negligence by U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, which enabled the 9/11 terrorist hijacking. Now, there are several people on the Internet who literally made Patrick Fitzgerald the hero of the Bush administration with the, you know, the sentencing of one aide to a few months in prison. I mean, my God, what you are exposing here in this email that you sent, you know, regarding Patrick Fitzgerald, it just makes me think that he's another one of the hacks that, you know, exists in every administration.
Right. Well, you know what? At the time when he was investigating the outing of the CIA agent, I wondered, it seemed to me he was holding back. And since then, I discovered information that would support that. But to get up to that situation, I have to, in a way, start from an earlier point so that the listener can fully understand how Fitzpatrick, who's now the U.S. attorney in Chicago, became involved in cover-ups of certain information that made 9/11 possible. Now, incidentally, Fitzpatrick is another investigative reporter by the name of Peter Lance, who wrote a book called Triple Cross. And he addresses certain areas of what I discovered, though I go into it a little more thoroughly. But U.S. Attorney Fitzgerald is threatening to sue Peter Lance for charging that Fitzgerald was his negligent helped bring about the 9/11 attack. Well, my book doesn't refer to negligence. It reflects upon corruption and criminal obstruction of justice. So it's, and then I have a number of other sources. But it's an interesting story, and I hope we have time to address that.
Oh, well, we've got 2 hours, so we've definitely got time. What is it that you have seen that Patrick Fitzgerald has suppressed or covered up or whatever?
Okay, let me start from a little bit earlier to lead you into that.
Okay.
You recall, of course, the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, and the mastermind behind that was an Al-Qaeda operative called Ramzi Youssef. And Youssef was also involved in placing a bomb on a Philippine Airlines 747. He was planning to put bombs on 11 U.S. airliners simultaneously that were departing Far East locations. And he was also one of the masterminds behind the hijackings of U.S. airliners. Well, he was, after the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, he fled to the Philippines. And eventually he was captured in Pakistan and brought back to the United States. And he was in a holding cell in New York City and at the Metropolitan Correctional Center waiting trial on these charges. Well, it was him and an associate by the name of Murad who were waiting for trial. Well, they were in individual cells, and occupying a cell between the two of them was Gregory Scarpa Jr., who was the son of the mafia guy that was involved in the murders with the FBI supervisor by the name of Lindley DeVicchio. Well, Scarpa managed to convince Youssef that his mafia group was also interested in harming the United States. So Youssef started to give Scarpa quite a bit of information on the Al-Qaeda plans. And among the information that was provided to Scarpa was how to smuggle explosives on board aircraft, the planned taking down of a U.S. airliner departing a local New York City airport. The purpose of that was to bring about a mistrial in U-Ships pending criminal trial. Also, advanced information about terrorist bombings in Africa, and then also about the planned hijackings. Well, all of this information was being given to U.S. To FBI agents on a daily basis, and SCARPA provided me with many of the FBI 502 forms where they report this information. So now, what happened then? This information should have been immediately given to different government departments to defend or block the planned terrorist attacks. Well, this was not given, and the reason this information was not given, high-level FBI, DOJ personnel had planned to discredit Scarpa Jr. because he was going to testify at some upcoming criminal trials about the murders that his father committed with the FBI supervisor. And the FBI, DOJ personnel had planned to discredit this witness, which, of course, would have been obstruction of justice. But anyhow, so
Rodney,
this was...
Rodney, you hear the music? We've got to go to break. We're talking with Rodney Stitch here on RNN Radio on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. We will be right back.